Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachim Daf Kuftes Zayin. We are holding on the bottom of Kuftes Vav Amid Beis, three lines off the bottom. Amar Mar, let's go back and review what we have learned yesterday. Until the Mishkan was built, one was allowed to bring any type of Baal Chai, any type of animal, kosher animal. It can be a behemoth, a domesticated animal, a chai, an undomesticated animal, even a deer, right? Any animal, any kosher animal was acceptable. Amar Mar HaKoyl, all types, were ksheren, were in fact suitable lahakriv. Minoh HaNemili, how do we know this? Amar Rav Hunam Damakro, we have a pasuk from before the Mishkan's time, from Noyach's times. Damakro, the pasuk says, Vayive Noyach Mizbeach LaShem, right? Noyach built a Mizbeach for Hashem. Vayikach Mekola Behema, HaTohira. He took from all the behemoths. Mekola Oif HaTohira, all the kosher birds. And this covers all categories. Why? The word Behema, Kimashmoy, as per its meaning. A behema. And we all know that in terms of terminology, chaya is bechlal behema. In the Torah, when it says behema, it refers to behema and to chaya. How do we know? It says Rashi, because there's a pasuk, zois habehema shetoichu, the following behemas are edible. And then it has ayol, tzvi, viachmer, which are chayas. Chaya is also considered under the behema umbrella. So, he brought all types, behemoths, chayes, four karbonis. Apparently, it was perfectly acceptable at that point in history. And the Braisa also told us that you can bring zecharim, or nekeves, male, female animals, tamim, and unblemished, and even blemished, ubalimumim. And let's skip over to the other side of the brackets here. Lafuki mechuset ever deloy. Slightly blemished is okay. But a mechusar aver, it's missing an entire limb, missing a finger, missing a hand, that's not acceptable. Even before the Mishkan's times, even a ben noyach, before Klal Yisrael came into being, an animal which is blatantly, you know, blemished, missing a limb, that's not acceptable. Deloy, how do we know? De Omar Rab, Allah, Menayin, how do we know the mechusar aver? Shenasel b'nei noyach, even b'nei noyach cannot offer a mechusar aver as a korban. Tamaloymar, we have the pasuk, again backed by Noyach. Hashem instructs him to collect, you know, representation of all the different types of species. Umakol achai, mekol basar, bring a little bit of each, right? Kosher, you bring seven, non-kosher two. The term umakol achai tells us that the animal you're going to bring into the teva has to be complete, full, whole, not missing any, you know, visible limbs. So, what's the point of that? Because Hashem knew that He's going to take some of them and use them as a korban. And that's why Hashem laid down this requirement. Nothing visibly missing. Torah is instructing him. Only gather together behemoth shechayin, which are complete in their limbs, Rashi Evar, and the, you know, the tips of their Evar, meaning the limbs, the extremities, the fingers, the hands, right? Rashi Evar and Shalom. Mukalachai means complete. How do you know? Vadilma limutit reifa. Perhaps even missing a limb would be okay. Mukalachai is telling you that a treifa is not acceptable. Right? An animal with an internal wound, critical wound, which is not really going to live, right, which can't bear offspring, well, that's not acceptable. But if it's male missing a hand, a foot, maybe that's okay, says the Gemara. Hahum l'chayes zera nafka. Well, that's learned from the other pasuk, l'chayes zera. Only animals which can bear offspring. And that rules out a treifa, which now avails the first pasuk, to rule out one which is missing an aver. Yeah, that's if you're assuming that works according to the opinion that treifa in yeled, that treifa cannot bear offspring. So then it's covered by this pasuk. But according to the position that a treifa can bear offspring. Michael Amemar. So then it's not going to be excluded from the Chayu Zera. Okay, so then for that we need Umukalachai, the first pasuk, and it's unavailable to tell us that Mechusar Eivor is unacceptable. Well, says the Gemara HaMakro, we have the other pasuk, Itcha. Noyach, take all these animals Itcha with you, indicating B'daimunach, that they are comparable to Noyach. And just as Noyach was not a treifa, the animals alongside him are also not going to be treifa. So that's excluded from this pasuk, leaving us the first pasuk, Mukalachai, to counter the one that's missing, Rashi Ivar. Well, yeah, compare them to Noach, but how do you know what Noach was? Maybe he himself was a treifa too. V'dumla Noach guf a treifa hava. No, that can't be. Tamim, ksibbe. The pasuk describes him as a tamim, complete, healthy. Well, maybe it means in terms of personality and character traits. V'dumla tamim means bedrachav. He was whole, complete in his ways. Rashi says, anav, savlan, patient, humble. Tzadik sibeh, the answer is, for that it says tzadik, which is descriptive of his personality. And apparently the word tamim is to say that he's physically complete. Well, who says? Maybe these two terms are describing different aspects of his personality. V'dumah tamim v'drachav, patient, humble. Tzadik means v'masa, in terms of his righteous deeds. Man with honesty, with integrity, but not to rule out a treifa. So perhaps Noach was a treifa. And when we compare the animals to Noach Itcha, perhaps means, a treifa. And therefore we need the other pasuk of Mikolachai to rule out the treifa, leaving us with no pasuk available to rule out the Rashi Yevar, the one that's missing Rashi Yevar. Answer the Gemara, no, you can't say that. You can't suggest Isak Daitach. The Noach Gufei Treifa Hava. According to you, Noach was a treifa. You can't say that, because if so, the Torah is limiting that you can only use, you can only gather together treifa animals like himself. Unlikely. Mika Amalei LeNoach. Is Hashem telling Noach to Kavasoch Ayil? Bring animals in the same physical state as yourself, meaning they have to be treifa. Shlemim like the Ayil, don't bring in healthy animals? Unlikely. The whole point was to have the species survive, and it's unlikely that it has to be specifically a treifa. Okay, so if so, itcha, them, like you, in the case that is not a treifa. So that rules out a treifa from being taken into the teva. So now it leaves us with the pasuk Mukalachai to rule out the one that's missing Rashi Ivarim. It's considered a fully blemished and unsuitable for carbon. Ask the Gemara, okay. So we've applied this pasuk and that pasuk. We still have that middle pasuk. Melechai Zera, what's that for? Uma'achar denafkalami itcha. Once we know from the word itcha that the animals cannot be treifa, lechai Zera, what's the point of lechai Zera? What's that pasuk telling us? The answer is, perhaps the animal should be healthy and well, just like you, but who says the animal has to be of age to generate offspring? Perhaps even an old animal, past offspring bearing age. Perhaps a sterile animal is also fine, just to keep you company. Mado tema, itcha means letzav sabalmo, to keep you company, that's all. And therefore, afilu zaken, afilu saris, even old, even sterile, would he accept ol kamashmon? No, l'chai yozera says, the whole point is to have the to have them in the teva for the purpose of survival, to have the species survive. So it has to be of offspringable age, right? Childbearing age. Okay, so bottom line is, Ben Noach was allowed to bring any type of behemah v'chaya, zecharim nekevim, tamim and balimum, to provide it's not missing an aver, which is excluded from the word mukalachai. Tohir nav le'tmein. provided these animals are of the kosher variety and not the non-kosher variety. Now, at that point in history, there was no kosher or non-kosher. These categories only came about after Matan Torah. They hadn't been established yet at that early point in history. Right? So, although the Torah does tell him, take seven of the kosher, right? Indicating that those will be used for carbon, perhaps the term tahar has a different definition. It means something totally different than it means today. Since when did they have these distinct categories of tami v'tahar like we have today? Amar Shmuel Barachmenam Yenison Ma'osan Shalei Nevda Ben Avira. There's a girsa actually Ma'osan Shasidin Ha'asidin Litoher. It's on account of the future. Hashem knew this is going to be considered kosher after the Torah will be given. So already at that time, at that point, Hashem labeled it as such and indicated to Noach to bring only those. Now, how did Noach know which ones are what? He didn't have those signs that are taught in the Torah. The Rav Chisda tells us. He took all the different types of animals, walked them in front of the teva, and whichever one was drawn into the teva, miraculously, he determined to be tahar. Kol shateva kol tasa, the one that the teva draws in, yadua shutar, that confirms its tahar status. Eina teva kol tasa, the one that the teva did not gather in, yadua shein tmein, that confirms its tummy status. That's one teretz. Rabbi Yavo Amar, take a look at the pasuk. Amakro, v'habayim zachar nekeva. They came. Habayim elay. They came on their own. So the ones that belonged there came. Came seven at a time. Came, you know. So you knew the ones that came seven were the Torah type, and the one that only showed up as two were of the non-Torah type. Amamar. Let's go back again. V'akoyel karvo oylois. The Brisa says that before the Mishkan was established, everything was brought as an oil. Which sounds like that's the only carbon, the only option you have. You can't bring, let's say, a shlamim, which is partially consumed by the kayim, partially by the owner, partially to the mizbeh. You can't bring that. The only thing you can bring before Matan Torah, before Mishkan, was an oil. Oil is in shlamim loy, voksivo. Like, take a look at the pasuk, which describes the events before Matan Torah, a couple of days before Matan Torah. It says, Vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim. Klal Yisrael brought even shlamims. And at that point, they were not yet considered Bnei Yisrael, still before Matan Torah. Apparently, even a shlamim is okay at that point in history. Ella, rather, say like this. Ema, let's relearn the Brisa. Up until now, the Brisa spoke about different types. Behema, chaya, right, that you can bring. But going forward, the Brisa was referring to people. Different types of people. Yisroel, Bnei Noach, HaKoel, Korvo, Oilos. All of them, even a Bnei can bring an oil. Okay? So an oil, everybody can bring. Ushlamim. Now, some take out these words here. Ushlamim, Vatanyo, Avashlamim, Loikim, Oilos. So it reads like this. That everybody, even Bnei Noach, can bring an oil. Okay, that's the first thing. But ulivnei noyach oylesin shlamim loy. But a guy can only bring. His options are limited. Only to an oyle can bring a shlamim. Shlamim loy. Only a ben Yisrael can bring a shlamim. Shlamim is a more complex carbon. If they eat it, b'kedusha, right? It has all types of elements to it. Part of it is to the mizbeach. Part of it to the kohen. Part of it to the owner who eats it as a mitzvah. Only a yid can eat for a mitzvah. Only a guy doesn't have any, right? Says the Gemara, Kimanda Omar, Loikarvo, Shlomim, Beninoyach. So this follows the opinion that a Beninoyach cannot bring a Shlomim. The Itma, actually, it's a whole discussion. Some say yes, some say no. Between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Chad Omar, Karvo, Shlomim, Beninoyach. One maintains that even a Beninoyach can bring a Shlomim. Chad Omar, Loikarvo, no, a guy cannot bring a Shlomim. Only an Oila. And each one has his respective sources. My time is Madame Kavar Shlom Bnei Noach. What's the source to say that a guy can bring a Shlomim? Tichsiv. Way back, the time of Hevel. The Hevel, Hevi Gam Hu Mibchayroi, Soinim Michal Bayan. Hevel brought the best of his soin, the best of his am, Umeichel Vayan, and from its fats. Indicating that it's the Kavar Shlomim. Why? Eze Odava Shechal Vakarav. Legabim Mizbech. Vein Kuloi Karav. Legabim Mizbech. Which type of Karav? Only has its fat on the Mizbech and nothing else. Not an oil, right? An oil is completely burnt on the Mizbech. Habib is a Shlomim. Apparently it's a Shlomim. So you see, even Hevel, who had the status of a Ben Noach, Noach refers to anybody other than Bnei Yisrael, or even the Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah. So you see, even he can bring a Shlomim. Okay. On the other hand, my time with Madam Aloy Karva, what about the opinion that says that a guy cannot bring a Shlomim? Because the Pasuk says, Uri Tzafon, this is in Shir HaShirim. Uri Tzafon, Yaboy Seimon, and we learn as follows. Uri means it's going to be punished. Rashi says, Vayinayir Hashem Es Mitzrayim. Destroyed, right? Vayinayir means to be shaken up. Be shaken up. Who's going to be shaken up? The goyim, in the time of Mashiach. They're going to get what's due to them. And the Pasuk refers to them as Tzofin. Tisnair umosh maseh b'tzofin. That nation whose activities relate to Tzofin, who could only bring an oila, which is brought on the Tzofin of the Azara, that nation will be punished. V'tavay umosh maseh b'tzofin ubedarim. And the nation, Klal Yisrael, will be invited in. They're a nation whose activities relate to Tzofin and Darim. They can bring both type of karbanos. An oila which is in Tzofin, and a shlamim, which can bring be brought anywhere. Which means to say, shech, or shechted. Shechted anywhere in the Azor. So apparently, a guy cannot bring anything other than an oila. Umar nam yoksiv umei chalvein. Now what does he do with the pasuk by Hevel? Chalvein, which indicates a shlamim. Yishmainein didu. It simply means the best of his crop, the best of his herd. But of course, strictly as an oil. Umar nami yoksiv uri tzofen. What does the other shit to do with this pasuk of Shir HaShirim? No, it's unrelated to karbonos. Ahu, that's describing how Hashem will gather in our nation from all the different areas. Ahu b'kibbutz golis u'dechsiv is describing the gathering of the exiles coming from all corners of the world, from tzofen, from Dorim. Ask the Gemara. How can we say that a guy cannot bring a shlom? Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells Paro, oh, you think you're going to be tough with us? You're going to say, you yourself are going to be contributing to our karbonos. You're going to be sending zvachim and oilos. Now zvachim means a shlom. Apparently it's okay for a guy to, right? And says, no, zvachim is not chilo. You're going to send us animals for our consumption. Oilos, that's going to be for a karbon, not krova. What about by Yisrael? He brought an oil and zvachim. Apparently, even a benayach can bring a shlomim. Well, actually, that happened after Matan Torah when he converted. Well, that works. That works according to the opinion that Yisrael yachem Matan Torah hayo, that he came after Matan Torah. At that point, we had the status of Bnei Yisrael, and a shlomim was part of the repertoire. But if you hold like the opinion that he came before Matan Torah, and this banquet took place at that point, Michael Amim, how are you going to explain the shlamim that's on the menu? The Itma, we have a discussion in terms of precisely when he arrived in the desert. Bnei Reb Chia, that's one opinion. Reb Shur Malevi, that's the opposing opinion. Chadama, one maintained, Yisroi Koide Matan Torah. He came before Matan Torah. V'chadama, the other one maintained, Yisroi Acha Matan Torah. So if he came only before, how do you explain the shlamim? Answers the Gemara. Well, according to that opinion, a guy could bring a shlomim. Apparently, you have to say that. Lamad Amar. Yisrael. Koide Matan Torah Hayah. You have to say, Kasavar, he apparently holds shlomim. He could be Bnei Noach, that a guy can bring a shlomim. So he fits with that part of the puzzle. Katanoi. Actually, there's a whole machlekes. So we sort of, chain continue into the Yisrael discussion now. Vayishma Yisrael Koyin Midyan. So Yisrael heard about some sort of event, and he came running to the Midbar to join our nation. Mashmo Shamaba, what event did he hear about? When this guy had to prompt him to convert. He heard about the vanquishing of Amalek. Sharksibitsidi, as the Pasuk nearby says, Vayachal Sheshua Samalaka Samalafi Kharab, and then afterwards it says he came. Okay, makes sense that it follows that sequence. Ragazamadoy Aymar, no, Matan Torah Shamaba, he heard about the great event, Matan Torah. How did he know about it? Because it was a worldwide event. Kishanitna Torah Yisrael, when the Klai Yisrael received the Torah, Hayakoyloi, the voice of Hashem was reverberating throughout the entire world. From one end to the other. In fact, all the non-Jewish kings were gripped by fear. And in their palaces, and they turned to Hashem with Shira. What song? Each king in his palace, praising and singing to Hashem. Now, until they figured out what was happening, they ran, they were petrified. Is this another calamity, another mabul? They came to their sage, Bilam. They asked him, what's this tumult that we're hearing? Shema Mabul Balaylam, is there another flood? Hashem al Mabul Yashav? Amar lahem. He says, no, that's a one-time event. It's not going to happen again. There's a girsa here. Shanemar, okay, Hashem al Mabul Yashav. Amar lahem, so he says, no, Vayishav Hashem al Chalaylam. Hashem was established as Malchus, meaning Hashem promised, swore that he's going to continue being our the Melech of all creatures, not going to destroy, obliterate the world. Okay, so that's checked off. He's not going to bring another flood. They said, okay, maybe not a flood of water, maybe a flood of fire. A grand fire will destroy us. He promised no more water. Fire, maybe. Perhaps that'll bring. Hashem punishes with fire. He responded again. It's never going to be a complete obliteration. He already swore. So what's this noise? What's this tumult? What's this noise that we hear? He says, I'll tell you the truth. There's Matan Torah going on at this point. Chemda Torah Teva Yeshle Beis Gnozov. Hashem has this very dear treasure in his treasury. Shoysek Gnuza Esla, which was hidden by him for many, many years. Tat Akaad Doiras, 974 generations. Koydem Shnivra Oilam, before the world was created. And Rashi explains that when adding the 26 Doiras from Adam till Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a total of 1,000 Doiras, which corresponds to the Pasuk and Tehillim, describing the Torah as being introduced 1,000 years before it was actually given. Ubikesh litna lebonov, and now he wants to give it to his children. Shenam Hashem oiz means the Torah. Rashi says on the bottom line, a Torah, shimu uzun sheyisrael, it's our strength, it's our backbone, it's our life, it's our essence. La'ama yitin, he's giving it, he's granting it, gifting it to his nation. And that's what's happening. Oh, once they heard that, they exclaimed with gratitude, Miyad Pasul Kulam, deep inside, they appreciated the fact that Torah has been given, which is a reason for all our existences. Va'amru Hashem Yivarech Samei Vashem. Rav Lezer Omer Kriyas Yamsuf Shema Bo. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. So according to the previous explanation, he came after Matan Torah, of course. But according to this explanation, and the one before that, it was actually before Matan Torah. So he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why he came running. Shenemar ve'yikashmoy kamachay moiri, heard about the tremendous miracle. Va'af Rachav Azoyne Amru Shlucha Yeshua, and even Rachav, the immoral woman, told these spies that were sent by Yeshua, you should know. You think Kiryas Yamsuf was just a private event? Everybody heard about it. It was a worldwide event. Kishamanu, we heard. They said Shoyvet Hashem Esme Yamsuf, had dried up the waters of the Yamsuf. Now, if we compare the language and the psukim here, we find an interesting discrepancy. Why is it that when in describing the event of drying up the Jordan River when they entered its Yisrael, it says they lost their spirit, they were so flabbergasted, the goyim, that they would totally lost their bearings. Ruach. But over here, when she describes the fear that gripped the nations during the drying up of the Yamsa, we find a more elaborate expression. The Ka'amra, or the Chsiv, it says, it adds the word ish. The answer is that they were so intimidated that they couldn't even engage physically in relations. They lost their whole spirit. Now, how did she know what was going on? Because she was involved with men. We learned that every single leader, every single thing, nobody avoided this woman. They were all involved with Rachel Azayna, so she knew what was going on. Amru, in fact, this was her life story. She was 10 years old. She also saw Mitzrayim when we left Mitzrayim. All throughout the 40 years of the desert, she was involved in Znus. She turned to, after 50, this Gaira, she was so taken by the events and everything, she converted. Amra, now she turned to Hashem with a request. Hashem, please, accept my tshuva and, in the merit that I saved the miraglim, the spies, and I left them out, I let them climb out my window and using this rope, and I hid them on the roof from the pursuers under the pile of flax. And actually, Rashi says these were this was her equipment that she would use in her sins. She would hide the visitors and let them out through. So basically, she turned it around. She used the same equipment used for sinful activities. This time, it was used for a positive purpose. And please, Hashem, turn things over for me and forgive my errant behavior. This guy of Amra, she asked, "Yehi mochali, I should be forgiven b'schar and the reward and the merit of the chevel, the rope." Chalai, the window, pishtim, and the pile of flax that I used to save the Yidin. Amamar. Okay, so we learned that one had the ability to be makar of all types of karbanos before the Mishkan was established. And even nowadays, when for us, Yidin, this is unacceptable, but for the Goyim, they have a free hand. They could be makar of any karbanos today in the privacy of their home, of their Mizbeach. Amamar, even nowadays, a guy, Rashi and Lassus Kane, they can proceed and do karbanis to Hashem without these limitations. They can take any behemoth, tahir, any chayat, etc. How do we know that a guy can bring a karbi even outside the Beis Hamikdash? The Tanur Rabbanon, we have a pasuk which warns us against doing shchutei chutz. Dava b'nei Yisrael, mitzvah on shchutei chutz. We can't be makrav outside of the Beis Hamikdash, but a guy doesn't have that requirement. And therefore, kol echad ve'echad, any guy can just decide to build himself an altar, bani le'bon la'atzmai, or makar v'la mashiyirtzim, be makar of any kosher animal, of any variety. Amar v'yakab rach, amar v'as. Although they could, but we can't help them, nor can we do it on their behalf. Also l'sayin, l'asish l'chusim, amar v'a, l'arina shlushari, but we can give them instructions, we can have shiurim teaching them how to bring karbanos, and the Mefarshim point out that it's no issue of teaching them Torah here because this is a mitzvah that they have that they can do. In fact, you have the story. Okay, so again, Larinu Lushari, Kihad Ifra Hurmiz. There was a woman, Ifra Hurmiz, the mother, Imei, of a Persian king, Deshvar Malka, and she decided to offer a karban to Hashem, but instead of doing it on her own, she sent it to Rava, which was a little bit problematic. Shadra Kurban al Rabbah, she sent a Kurban to Rabbah to take care of for her. Shachalei, and she sent him a message with the animal, Askuni alei l'shem shemayim, I want you to take this Kurban and offer it to Hashem. Amalu l'Rav Safra. So Rabbah turned to Rav Safra, Ula Rav Acha bar Huna, to two Talmidim, and he says, do as follows. Find two Goyim, two matching Goyim, the same age, a nice matching crew. Zilu v'dabru, go and find and invite Trey, two Ulmei Gulai, two Gaim Gulai, this of the same age, of similar, V'chazu heicha damaski yamasirta. Now you have to find an area which was never used by people, a place where the river washes up. So that place, once the river recedes, that place is typically not used by people. So that's an appropriate place for a mizbeach. V'shach lutzi v'chadati, make sure to take only unused wood. Use a tool or some sort of shovel to generate a spark and fire. Never before used tool. So it has to be specific and exclusive for this purpose. And have the goyim put it on the fire and burn it for Hashem. Amalei Abaye. Why did the Rava have to insist on using wood which was pristine, etc.? Kaman, according to whose opinion are you going? Kirozim Shumua, who says that it has to be never before used material. Isanya, Rabbi Shumua, Imam Mizbech, just like Mizbech and the Mesa Midish, was brand new, Shle Shamash by Hedid, never before used by anybody. Af Eitzim, Shle Shamash by Hedid, likewise wood, has to be never before used wood. Is that where you're coming from? But not by a Bama. Bama doesn't have that requirement. But Moider, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Shamo, even if he agrees, but Bama, by a Bama, you're free to use any wood. The Sanya. Okay, this takes us to the whole discussion, which starts off with an apparent contradiction between two psukim regarding David HaMelech's purchasing the plot on which eventually Beis HaMikdash was built from a guy called Aravno. And there's a question in terms of how much was paid for it. What was the purchase price? Here it says it was 600 silver, there it says it was 50 gold, back and forth, and eventually we're going to get to the point that we're trying to aim for and prove whether you can use previously used firewood. Let's see. In one pasuk it says, "Va'itin David." David paid la'arnan ba'makam shiklei zav. He paid for the plot. How much? Shiklei zav mishkal sheish meyos 600 gold. Okay. Uksiv. And then it says it was only 50 silver. Uksiv. Va'ikan David is a guy, and he purchased the granary, v'asabokah and the animals, because it's called chamishim 50 silver. So it was a 50. It was a 600. Hakeita. The answer is like this. Purchase price was 600. Each shevet, right? All 12 of them contributed 50 each for a total of 600. Okay, it said, Goyvim kol shevet shevet chamishim. He collected 50 from each shevet, shem shesh meyais, which gets you to a total of 600. That's one pshat. Rabbi Yomer has another pshat. Mishim abba yosef ben nustoy. Bakar ve'etzim mokum mizbeach benon. 50 was to pay for the animals, for the wood, for the place of the mizbeach. The rest of the area for the rest of the Beis HaMikdash cost 600. Rabbi Elazar Shamo Omer, yet a third pshat. Bakar ve'etzim, mokum mizbeach benon. Right, these materials was 50. V'chol ha'bayis kuloi b'sheish meyos, and the rest of the plot for the rest of the Beis HaMikdash was 600. Tachsiv, as it says, v'yomer Arvana al David yikach v'yal adoni ha'melech atoy be'enav re'a bakar l'oilom. So Arvana initially offered, free of charge, take the animals, take everything as a gift. A merigim, certain type of equipment used for firewood, take. When he heard, you know, what was going on, he got all excited. Take, please. I'm donating everything. The animals, the merigim, use them as firewood, the equipment for firewood. No, clearly we see. One second. So that was the initial offering. But David HaMelech did not want to accept a free gift from the guy, from right. So he insisted on paying for it, and he paid for the $50. That's the 50, and the 600 was for the plot. In any case, he offered him, you know, pre-used equipment for firewood. Apparently, for the Bama, it was fine. Unlike Rava, who insisted on pristine firewood. V'Rava, what does Rava respond to this? Amalach, he says like this, Hasnami v'chalati. Who says they weren't fresh materials, a brand new piece of equipment, never before used? Okay, what exactly is this piece of equipment which was broken down into firewood? My merigim. Amarula mita, this flat board, shal turbo, called shal turbo. What does that mean? My mita shal turbo. Abai, is it the carcassa, this block of wood, the carcassa, with cracks and crevices, and Rashi says actually it looks like a goat of some sort, and it has prickly spots, like these pointy, points, and it has sharp points, and it has crevices. What's the purpose? The daishon dishoy, you would run it over stalks and turn it into hay, crush it into hay. It was like a crusher. Amar Abaye, my crow, what do we find that a meirig is used to crush? Hine samtech lemeirig charetz chadash val pifiyos. So eventually the goyim will be sort of treated with this meirig and crushed and defeated and punished. Makri le rabba libre. So Rabba was teaching his son, and he presented this apparent contradiction between the two psukim. V'ramile presented him kroya dadi, a contradiction between these two psukim. Is it 50? Is it 600? What was the purchase price? Ksiva yitin David la'arn, it says he paid arnon 50. Sorry, it says 600 gold. Ksiva yitin David, then it says he purchased it for 50 silver. Okay, it's that. The answer is, as we said before, goyvim kol shevet shevet chamishim, shem shesh meyos. So each shaver contributed 50 for a total of 600. But still, there's one thing that's left unanswered at this point. Is it gold or is it silver? Here it says 600 gold, 50 silver. What's going on? Did they handle with gold currency or silver currency? Ha, there it says kesev. Ha, here it says zav. Rather, it means like this. goy v'kesef mishkal shishmei yisov. Rashi explains like this, that he collected silver currency. How much of it? The worth, or the weight, of 50, right, the value of 50 shkolim shel zahav. So each shevet contributed that much. They offered it in silver, but it was valued based on the 50 gold, and then multiply that by 12, you have 600 gold. Okay, so we had an interesting discussion regarding the karbanos before Matan Torah, all types and stripes, provided they're of the kosher variety, which was somehow known at that point as well already, right? Nayach knew it because of the teva, right, etc. That was an interesting shaila in terms of options. So a Yisrael can bring an Eilo, Shlomim. What about before Matan Torah? Some say strictly Eilo, some say even Shlomim, and each one has his respective sources. Interesting halacha as well, that a Goy Bezman Hazeh can bring a carbon even outside the Beis HaMikdash, provided that we're not involved. It's his business, not ours. And then according to Rav, it has to be pure, pristine, you know, equipment, materials, l'kaved this carbon. Okay, just to see one more piece in the Gemara. Kachim kalm nechal mechal machin Yisrael. Amar Rav Huna mechal 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 Yisrael. So, in the Midbar, if one brings a shlamim, for instance, a kachim kalm, you consume it anywhere in the encampment. Anywhere where the Yidden would dwell, within their machne. Amar Rav Huna mechal 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 Yisrael. Doesn't have to be within the machne. Anywhere where the, you know, Yidden are at that point. There was no specific din, specific requirement to consume the carbon within the machne. You could take it out, really? Esvei Rav Nachman, you had a question on Rav Huna. U'machneis b'midlai havoi, there were no limitation, there were no machneis? Meaning, it was okay to take the food, the shlamim outside the machne Yisrael? Well, Tanya, we have a braisa. That actually there were three distinct zones. And correspondingly, in Eretz Yisrael, they also have those three zones. Right, there was the Beis HaMikdash, which is Machne Shechina. We have the Harabais, which is Machne Leviyah, like the Leviim who lived around the Mishkan. Then we have the rest of Yerushalayim, which is like Machne Yisrael, where the Jews camped around the, right? So that corresponded to the three Machnes in the Midbar, clearly. There were three separate zones and three separate halachas. And the karbanos cannot be taken past the third zone, right? But Tanik Hashem Shemachna Midbar, just like we have the machna set up in the Midbar, Kach machna. Likewise, we had a Yerushalayim, as follows: Yerushalayim and Harabayis, Machna Yisrael. Machna Yisrael encompassed the city until the Harabayis. Harabayis la Shar Nikna, from the Harabayis until Shar Nikna, which was the opening, the entrance to the Yazara, that was considered like Machna Leviya, corresponding to Machna Leviya. Mekam Edoch, further in is Machna Shechina, Vehin and Klem Shebe Midbar. And the Machna Shechina corresponded to what we call Teicha Kloim, inside the curtains around the Mishkan and the Midbar. So that's the highest, the place of the highest Kedush. So clearly, in the Midbar, they had three zones, and you're telling me that you're free to take the Shlamim anywhere? Ela Eima, rather, of course, we're in full agreement. Even Rav Huna agrees, of course. What he meant to say is like this: B'chal Moke. Machne Yisrael. What happens when they were traveling? They disassembled the Mishkan. They're on the road. They're on the go. What happens then? Says Rav Huna, Achidish. Even at that point, while in transit, the Machne still had their status. So the meat that you're traveling with, the Kachim, doesn't become possible. It's not like it left the zone. It's still within the zone, even though it's in transit. Pshita, well, of course. Why would I think otherwise? Ma'adotem Yitzel B'yaitze, perhaps, in transit, it's no longer in its territory. It's like it's left its territory. It's like it left the area. It becomes possible because it was taken out. No. Kamash on the point is no. There's no psul of Yaitse. It's still home. No, how do we know? Maybe it's right. That when it's in transit, it no longer has that status of Machne Yisrael, in which case the meat becomes possible because it left the encampment. The answer is Amakra, the pasuk says, Venasa Oyel Mayit. Even when the Oyel Mayit was in transit, it's still called Oyel Mayit and retains its status. And likewise, the zones surrounding it retain their respective status. Av b'shanas, even though he's traveling, oyel mayit, he still has the status of oyel mayit, and likewise the machnais, and therefore the kachim remain kaddish. Tosis adds a point. He says he could even eat it while he's traveling. even while in transit, it still has the status of Machan Yisrael and it's kosher for consumption of Eishlam. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.